This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm in my office, Katie. And there's no goose barking.
Yay!
She is downstairs happily. Yeah, she's fine. She's just downstairs, and we don't have to deal with her barking. We have to deal with my cat's butts.
You're in your new office, in your new house. Oh, yeah, that's like the big thing, if people couldn't fucking guess it, is that Katie bought a fucking house.
Bought a house, moved in my own place with my husband and Gaber. And it's awesome, and we're very, very happy. Mm-hmm. And it was the most stressful experience of my entire life, but it was so worth it. And big things in my home. So, you know.
It's an awesome house. I love it.
Obsessed with it. It's perfect. It is 123 years old. Someone definitely died in here, and it's everything.
Hi, Edna. We love you.
Hi, Edna. This was Edna's her room ghost that I'm in right now, where she passed. Nice. What's up? Love you. It's amazing.
Besides house, do you have any other updates?
Do I?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was asking.
You said that in such a way.
I'm just asking.
You said it as like almost like you were prompting me for like an update like that we spoke about. Yeah. Like that tongue. It felt very like, tell me about that thing. And I was like, oh shit. What thing?
I love you.
I'm exhausted.
I love you very much. Same.
No, I don't have any other update.
Okay. I'll tell them it's Friday, November 11th at 8:48 p.m. that we're doing.
It's the 3rd. It's not the 11th.
Oh, 11-3. That's what I meant to say. Jesus. 11-3. It's right.
And this comes out on 11-5. No, I know exactly. I knew exactly what you meant. I actually almost wish that I didn't clarify because, yes, we are in the future.
We've
it is 11-11. It's time traveled. We're here to tell you that it's possible. It's real. Project Pegasus and the Montauk experiment, they came to us and told us that it's all real.
Do you want to participate, girls?
It turns out we have been the whole time.
Anyway, so that's when we're coming to you from, and I have 4 days until Election Day, so I'm stressed. I'm a ball of stress, but I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for it to be done. No. You know me. I hope we win because I just want to be able to impact the community in greater ways than we already have and to help people. That's all I want. It's to make humanity better. Make the world better.
I think
better.
The worst part about the campaign, from what I've gathered through being the person that you kind of like vent to, is that what you're done with is having sudden change of plans, sudden like, oh, we're going to go do this now.
Yeah.
And know that it's like, I really actually do need to do this because it's a means to an end that's really important to me. But like that suddenness of things changing, it's a lot.
It is. So, it is a lot.
Meetings.
A lot of events to go to, a lot of meetings, a lot of it all. It's exhausting, but it'll be worth it when we win.
And when those things are like leading to helping invoke like positive change and not just leading to the hope to invoke positive change.
Yeah. Even if we don't win, we've already done so much to impact the community in a positive manner that it's like that'll just push us to do more. We already have plans that we want to enact, whether we win or not. All these things that we've already done and things that we plan to do. And so even if we don't win, like, just here to continue being a source of positive change in our community. But it's both stressful and I'm excited for it to be done.
That's totally fair.
Speaking of humanity,
how do we segue into this? Because that also feels like a gross thing to say. Like, oh, how do we segue into this? Like, and that's, maybe that's the perfect way to lead into the conversation of, like, the unknown, and we don't know how to discuss something in a way that encapsulates the massiveness of it.
What do we say that doesn't, like, add bullshit to the discourse that's already happening?
Mm-hmm. How do we, on what's supposed to be, like, an educational podcast and also a comedy podcast, discuss the genocide of a group of people? Even to just be like, how do we segue into, like, that's gross. And that's something that you and I have talked about, where, like, we need to say something about what's going on because we have a platform. But then the conversation of, like, oh, that feels icky, to be like, we need to say something just to say something, because that's not at all.
Like, who the fuck am I?
Yeah, that's not at all where this is coming from. But, like, we are quite literally watching a genocide happen on our fucking cell phones. And it is... Is there a word that can encapsulate? Like, it's disgusting. Part of the reason that we've not paused on saying something on the podcast, but, like, haven't been able to begin to know what to say is, like, we want to make sure we say the right thing. But then we also acknowledge that perfectionism is one of the tenets of white supremacy, and we can't wait for perfectionism and saying the right thing and the right words to said perfectly to talk about something so horrible that's going on. And if we wait for perfection, it's never going to fucking happen. And in order to dismantle and unpack white supremacy, that is one of the things that we need to let go of. So here we are, imperfect, showing our support for the innocent lives and generations of families that we are, like, seeing being wiped out. Again, on our fucking cell phones.
On our cell phones. There's a lot of, like, othering that has been happening from a lot of media outlets and people online and just a lot of discourse. But I think that what we all... us regular folk need to remember is that othering people based off of our leadership and their want to other people is not good for humanity as a whole. These are civilians, no matter who you are, where you're from, who your leaders are, what groups are speaking on your behalf. It doesn't matter who you are, what your religion is, anything. You are regular civilians who are being put in harm's way, and none of that is ever okay. Governments and groups are not the ones who are being hurt. They are doing the harm to everyone around them. And as civilians just trying to literally fucking exist on this planet, no one deserves this kind of carnage, this kind of loss, this amount of death. No one, no matter who you are. And I think that that's, like, really important to remember when there's a lot of othering of each other happening right now.
Yeah, to say Free Palestine is directly calling for acts of violence against Jewish people or anything like that. And it's wild to see that happening to the degree that it is.
There is space for multiple truths at once. There is a rise in anti-Semitism, and we've been seeing that for years now. There's also always been a rise in Islamophobia, and those two things are true at the same time, and we cannot forget that. Not when all of this carnage is happening. It's disgusting and very, very sad to see what is happening, and I am so, so very sorry for the literal families that are being wiped off of the face of the earth. Governments, this is what they want. They want us, the regular people, at each other's throats so that they can do whatever it is the fuck that they want to do. We just, I don't know, just, I, there's so much humanity that's lost in all of these, like, quick posts that are happening online. And I don't know, I just feel like everyone's forgetting that we're all just human, and we are not our governments, and we are not our leaders. We can be better than them, and we have to be better than them. I don't even know where I'm going with this, because, like you said, like, I don't have a perfect answer to any of this.
No, I am a 32-year-old white person sitting behind a microphone in the new home that she just purchased. Like, my life couldn't be further from the devastation that's going on in Palestine and the attacks that are, you know, coming from Hamas. But the reality is, like, I watched people die. We are watching generations of families be wiped out, and we are watching genocide on Palestinian people. Like, it is what it is. And as that is true, as Ashley said, there's also a rise of anti-Semitism. We have to call it all what it is. Downplaying it, any of it, is a disservice to the millions of lives that are being impacted everywhere. We could make a whole episode on it. That's not what this episode was intended to be. So I don't know how we end this. You are an editor, so you'll re-listen to this at a much more sane point and be like, okay, I can.
I'm not really sure how we move on from this. Like, how do you segue into it? How do you step away from it? What I'm going to do is do a lot of research and find some really great places that people can donate to for humanitarian aid and put that into the show notes. Because I think at this point, we could say call your representatives. I mean, I definitely think that you should be doing that. Calling your representatives, I'll always link information to that. But I think whatever we can spare just needs to go to directly physically helping people get aid.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll do. We'll make some donations ourselves too. And I don't know, man. I want better for humanity. I want better for us all.
Yeah. I wish I could say that what we're going to talk about today is better people or better situations. But it's not... It's not great, so find a way to make this work, Ashley.
Yep. All right, let's do this.
Our story starts with a 19-year-old named Bobby on his way to his first day of college in the Catskills of New York. Ooh. He said he was like kind of a shy guy, never really popular, but as soon as he got to campus, everyone was being like wildly nice to him. Hey, oh my god, great to see you. Hey, Eddie, so glad you decided to come back. Hey, he thought it was weird, but he was like, all right, maybe we're in a small, he's from New York City, he's like, maybe it's like a small town, everyone's really nice. Then girls started coming up to him and like kissing him on the mouth and being like, oh my god, Eddie, you're back. And he's like, nope, I'm Bobby. I've never been here before, but like, okay. So he gets to his dorm, and in comes another guy. And basically, this dude stops dead in his fucking tracks when he sees Bobby. Because he is very good friends with this man, Eddie. And he knew for a fact that Eddie was not coming back to school this year. But here in front of him stood Eddie. The first thing out of his mouth was, were you adopted? Bobby said, yeah. Is your birthday July 12th? Yeah. You're not gonna believe me, but I know you're fucking twin.
Mic drop of all mic drops. I couldn't even, as an adopted person, if somebody came up to me one day and was like, bitch, let me tell you, you have a twin. I would lose my fucking mind because I've always wanted one.
So they run to the payphone because this is the 70s and get in contact with Eddie. Bobby says that when he grabbed the phone out of his friend's hand, well, Eddie's friend's hand, and said, hello, Eddie, it was his voice that responded back to him. You see, these two had been born in the same hospital on the same day and adopted from the same agency in the early 1960s. Bobby hops in his car with this guy, whose name I clearly didn't catch, and drives 2 hours to where Eddie was living. When Bobby and Eddie look at each other, they knew immediately they were twins. The friend that was with them said that it was like the most surreal thing he's ever fucking seen. That it was literally like that scene in movies where it happens where like one of them would move and then the other one would do it and they were just like mesmerized by each other. The press gets a hold of the story and it makes the front page of the Post. That story finds its way into the hands of a guy named David. You see, David was also born on July 12th and adopted from that same agency.
What?
And also looked exactly fucking like them.
Not even just twins, triplets?
When the three of them first met up, within 5 minutes, they, quote, ended up on the floor wrestling like puppies, David's aunt said. Quote,
oh,
they belonged to each other, end quote. Not even just twins, dude. Motherfucking triplets.
Oh my god. Bruh, I did not see that coming.
Right? So they're 19 years old and they are just like so fucking elated to have found each other. The parents, on the other hand, are comparing notes.
Oh, shit.
You see, none of them knew that these boys had siblings, let alone identical triplets.
I mean, it feels so unethical for an adoption agency to not disclose, not even just like twins, triplets, siblings.
Siblings in general, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Identical triplets. None of them knew. So the similarities between these kids were, quote, according to one of them, parallel to the point that it's ridiculous, end quote. They both smoked the same cigarettes, had the same taste in women, same favorite colors. They all wrestled in high school. As babies, they all used to, quote, hit their heads against the wall until they passed out, end quote. They all dealt with serious psychological issues that were most likely separation anxiety. They all dealt with heavy issues in their teens that required help from hospitals to deal with their mental needs. Nancy L. Siegel's book, Deliberately Divided, explores a controversial 1960s study that purposefully separated adopted twins and triplets into different families.
God, that is so fucked up.
The study was conducted by Louise Weiss Services, a New York City adoption agency, which at the time was like the premier place for the adoption of Jewish children.
That just took it to like a shittier level.
Mm-hmm. Well, the boys toured talk shows and was like, everyone was like, oh my God, separated triplets. The parents traveled to the city to get some fucking answers.
As they should.
You see, not only were these kids split up, but they were told originally that the reason that they were going to be like studied through their childhood, but they told like, oh, we're just doing a study on the development of adopted children in general. So people would come in and like run tests on these kids for years, from infancy up until they were like 10 to 12 years old, and then they would leave that house and then drive not but 20 miles to the fucking twins' house.
Wow.
And kept it all a secret. The depths of this is, it's so fucked up. So the parents travel the city to get some fucking answers to like what the hell is going on. And they're kind of basically told that at the time, research said that it was better for twins to be separated as to not overwhelm adoptive parents and that it would give children more attention. There was no research that said this.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's the 1960s. People are being like, well, if you get two babies, that's a lot. So if you just get one, parents can like focus all their attention on it. And in a documentary called Three Identical Strangers, one of the triplets is like, my dad got super pissed at that point and was just like, we would have taken all three, no question. Like, how could you do this?
How dare you?
And they're not like really given a ton of answers. They go to leave. David's dad forgets his umbrella, so he goes back in and sees that they're all pouring champagne and toasting. So he's like,
oh my God.
He's like, what the fuck is going on? And they at this point haven't quite put together that this was a psychological study on twins, but they like know that something is up. So they go to some lawyers. Yeah. They start going around to lawyers in the city, and all of the lawyers are like, yes, we will definitely take this case. And then when they find out that it's at the Louise Wise adoption agencies, it turns into a quick hell no, because a lot of different people who worked at these law firms were waitlisted to adopt children from there, and it didn't want to mess with their chances.
Oh, no.
So they couldn't even get a lawsuit.
Oh, my God.
Well, all of this is going on. A journalist, Lawrence Wright, is working on a story about twin studies in general, because this isn't the first time that twins have been studied. One of the first times that we know about was during the Holocaust. But he's just talking about different things that are going on, and he reads something that cites a secret study on twins and triplets that were separated at birth, and it involved psychoanalytic psychiatrist Viola Bernard and Peter Neubauer. Peter Neubauer was the director of the Child Development Center of the Jewish Board of Guardians, which is now the Jewish Board of Family and Children Services in Manhattan. He's also a Hungarian Holocaust survivor who went on to become a very well-known doctor in New York City. And he was in charge of this study. Louise Weiss Services initially insisted that the separation was due to the difficulty of placing three babies in one home. As people began to pull at this story, though, it later emerged that the boys were purposely sent to different families, one blue collar, one middle class, and one wealthy one, to see how they developed in the varying environments. All of this was a study on nature versus nurture. Louise Wise Services deliberately split up at least 10 set of infant twins or triplets and placed them in separate families. Neubauer-Bernard's techniques were mostly carried out by psychology students who visited families in their homes, including comparing the IQ of the estranged siblings, monitoring their physical dexterity, and dissecting their personalities through methods such as the inkblot tests and other strength tests. So we know about the triplets. They came forward. And you can get a really great glimpse into their lives, really, in the documentary Three Identical Strangers. I watched it on Hulu. You see the brothers, they move in together, they get married, they open up a restaurant, and the restaurant starts doing really, really well. And unfortunately, things get rough, and one of the triplets ends up killing himself in the 90s. That's in the documentary, like, really where they start talking about the mental health struggles that all three of them dealt with. Mm-hmm. And they go over to twins that were also adopted out of that agency who also dealt with mental health struggles. A lot of the doctors who were involved in the documentary point out, will you ever be able to know if those mental health struggles were genetic or because they were separated from their fucking twins? Like, how do you even begin to cope with what was taken from you? Because you're triplets, but you're not brothers. You didn't grow up together. Mm-hmm. You don't have those years of history of figuring out how each other kind of operates.
Yeah. You don't have the emotional connection, but something in that DNA connects them, mm-hmm. which is, like, kind of mystical, kind of crazy. But the human body is wild and we don't know everything about it.
Yeah. The really fucked up thing about this is that Dr. Neubauer died in 2008. He never published the results of his study. In fact, he purposely had it sealed until the year 2065. So even the participants who know that they were participants because they figured it out were able to get access to heavily, heavily redacted copies of this that basically told them nothing.
Yeah.
As a certified nosy bitch, I would love to look at those files. I mean, there's tons of files that I'm asking to look at that I just, like, do not have a right to ask to look at. But the people who were involved in the study who know that they were should absolutely have access to these files. The people who were involved in the study who don't know that they were involved need to be fucking notified.
Yes.
Because they haven't been.
Post haste.
We do not know exactly how many infant twins were involved. And when Dr. Neubauer was asked, he, quote, really doesn't want to talk about it and never answered. He was purposefully incredibly vague. And no one has any idea what the entire size of this study that went on for over a decade.
You just know it's too many.
Oh, it's absolutely too many. Abso-fucking-lutely. Now, I went on a little search because there was a twin study conducted in Minnesota that was published in the 90s. And this one was Dr. Bouchard, and he set out looking for twins who had been separated and found each other.
Oh.
He didn't separate the mm-hmm. twins on purpose to study them, but he went out and looked for them. And he found wild correlations between twins. There's these two twins who ended up both being named Jim. They both named their childhood dog Toy. They had the same career. Their first wife and second wife had the same names. They drank the same beer, smoked the same cigarettes. The correlations were uncomfortably leaning towards nature is entirely in charge of everything.
So interesting to me that something where there are so many different preferences between humans on things that they like beer and cigarettes, there's so many options, to like the same one as the person who shares the same DNA as you, but you've never spoken to them before? Like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you...
Wrapping my mind around that is...
Woo! That's a picture of the triplets. I just texted it to you.
Let me look.
Like, it's so weird because they don't look exactly the same, but they look exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Right?
I mean, this is the same person with slightly different eyebrows.
Well, and they all had the same. So, like, they were, like, sitting in talk shows. They sat exactly the same.
Stop.
There was other twins, identical twins from the study. They had the same mannerisms. They spoke with their hands in the same way. I was literally just listening to a Wine and Crime episode today where they were talking about people who had been switched at birth.
Ooh.
One of the girls who was switched at birth, like, had a very distinct way of, like, chewing and popping her bubble gum. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly the way that her sisters that she didn't meet until she was a literal grandmother did it.
That's crazy.
The impact of genetics is profound. What a study of all of these studies. So, like, someone meta-analyzed all of the twin studies that they had access to. Found was that identical twins have a correlation of, like, personalities and just, like, things in general that are not, like, biological, obviously, of 0.6, when a perfect 100% would be 1.0. Fraternal twins who have 50% DNA, who are just siblings, basically, but born at the same time, genetically are just siblings, have a correlation of 0.3. So identical twins is literally double.
Wow.
It's not perfect, but there is scientifically more.
I'm really struggling to, like, wrap my mind around this whole concept.
Yeah. These archives for this twin secret twin study are sealed at Yale University until 2065, presumably because that's when all of the twins would be dead. They would be 99 years old.
I'm gonna need the Montauk Project to be real so that I can teleport to that time.
I'm gonna need all of us to bug the shit out of Yale.
Yeah.
Because
petition obviously now.
Again, I would love to read those myself. But the people who were involved in that study deserve to know everything that was studied about them.
I'm sure there's a way to fight this in court.
There has to be. There has to be. I mean, Dr. Neubauer has passed. So far, I have watched documentaries and seen the triplets and four other sets of twins who have found each other involved in this study. There are definitely people who are out there who do not know that this is a thing. So, listeners, 1960s, New York City, Louise Wise Adoption Services. If your parents or grandparents or anyone who is older, born in that time in the 60s, like late 50s, early 60s, basically the only reason it stopped is because these triplets met each other and it went public. They weren't supposed to meet. So if you look into that, because, like, I have my brother and my sister and, like, we're not twins, but I cannot imagine not having them to grow up with.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, a sibling. Like, that's siblings I'm 4 years older and younger than.
I mean, I'm adopted and I do have two half siblings. And there was a time when I always just thought to myself, I was like, I just feel like I have siblings. They're just not fully my siblings. They're half siblings, same dad, but they exist.
Genetically is significant. And, like, I'm so glad that you know and, like, have that information. Mm-hmm. This, like, kind of ties in back with your adoption laws. Like, there needs to be more transparency. All of this needs to be looked at because the fact that this went on for so long is wild. And it wasn't just this agency. It was this agency that was separating twins so they could study them. But it was a frequent, frequent thing that they did during that time period because they thought it was better. I think it's just because it sounds easier to separate them and adopt them out as one rather than finding someone who wants to take twins. That feels like self-serving. But twins separated at birth, wild similarities. I could go on forever about the different similarities that they found. I do think that that also within itself is very self-serving of these documentaries. And one of the things that I loved about the Minnesota study and some of the meta study was that they acknowledged that if you meet your twin, are you not going to like subconsciously start emulating them? Mm. You know, like when I meet someone that I admire or really, really like I pick up on their little habits without even knowing it. Mm-hmm. So like if you meet your twin, are you guys not just going to like subconsciously start acting similarly? And like we'll never know because those people were robbed of the person that they came into this world with, or people in the instance of triplets. The guys felt like guinea pigs. They felt like lab rats. Oh, I forgot to mention this. They were all, the families that they were put into were picked specifically because not only was their financial status different, but they all also had siblings, sisters that were 3 years older that were adopted from that agency.
Oh.
So they saw the sisters as like a control for the environment.
Interesting. That's really fucking planned out and...
and really weird. Fucking manipulative.
Yeah.
The guys like saw some of the interviews from Lawrence Wright and he was like, wow, this is like, he literally said like, wow, this is like some Nazi shit. Like, this is really fucked up. I feel like a lab rat. Like, yeah, you stuck me and my sister with these people so that you could see what would happen to us. Well, like, this guy was hitting his, like, these babies were hitting their heads against the wall.
The fact that all three of them.
All three of them.
I mean, that's wild.
You can see some of the research that I did talked about studies where you can see 9-month-old twins in utero, like, hugging each other or, like, kissing each other or fighting. Like, there is, like, a connection that is formed. And they talk about the connection that is formed between, like, mom and pregnancy, like, in that time. So, like, to rob these people of that just to see what happens is really fucked up.
All right.
I don't think it's, like, wild for me to say this, but I think it's pretty fucking clear that it's not nature versus nurture. It's a little bit of both. And you don't have to separate twins and triplets to fucking know that.
Yeah.
So personally, I think we should all get on EL's case to release these, because do we really give a fuck what Peter Neubauer wants? I don't think so.
He dead.
Yeah, he's dead. What these people deserve is to get those files. So yeah. At Yale, what the fuck? I don't know why you would give a shit and keep these sealed. So yeah, we should all start bugging Yale, and that's my episode.
Thank you, Katie. You were not wrong. Humanity, it's not
great.
Yeah,
humanity's fucked up. And this is why I was like, oh, Ashley, my beautiful adopted friend, are you in an emotionally okay spot where I can talk about how fucked up it is to be separated from your blood relatives?
Can I just read what I said to you?
Oh, yes, please.
You sent me a voice message. I couldn't hear it because I was at the VFW. So you said, in case you can't listen to that right now, I just realized that my episode might be really triggering for you and wanted to check in where you were emotionally. And I was like, thank you for that. We're still at the VFW, so I couldn't listen. Is it like adoption related? And you said, yeah. And I said, I should be okay. Ha 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 ha. As unstable as ever, but I'll be okay with that. LOL. Jesus Christ.
So there's two stickers that we need to make, as unstable as ever, and certified nosy bitch.
Oh, wait. Okay. I love that you thought that because I literally wrote it down. It was like, here's a quote that we're going to use as a sticker for merch.
Because I really am. I'm like, let me see Marilyn Monroe's medical records. Speaking of medical records, give me JFK's medical records. And let me see his brain. And now I'm like, give me all of this study now. Right. Certified now. Nosy bitch. And I'm fine with it. But like, I don't have to look at it. Just the people who need to should be able to. Oh, my cat is.
Well, thank you, Katie.
It smells really bad. You're welcome.
Oh, okay. Till next week.
Bye. Yeah, I really need to go clean that up.
Say bye.
Oh, bye. I thought that was my end. For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at al2kpodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/al2kpodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.